I'm actually going to start with that. Janet, if you would go to the first slide. So John 15:1, simply, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. In this case, the vine dresser. So instead of just saying he is the vine, Jesus says that he is the true vine. So what's interesting about that statement is that Jesus makes a definitive distinction between himself and everyone else. Because there can only be one true vine. For this reason, it's important to know about the characteristics of vines. That'll help us understand why Jesus said he is the true vine. So what does it mean when Jesus says he is the true vine? Well, the vine is what gives life to the branches, making them capable of producing fruit. When a branch is cut off from the vine, it loses its ability to produce fruit. The branch is unable to produce fruit, any fruit outside of the connection to the vine. So if the vine is, the branch is not connected to the vine, it can't bear fruit. So when you think about yourself and your Christian life, your ability to produce fruit is a direct result of being connected to Jesus, who is the true vine. Jesus gives further credence to this by saying just in a few verses later, Janet, if you go to the next one, in John 15:4, he says, remain in me also as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So in the Bible, one of the things fruit represents is character. What you see produced on the outside is a reflection or presentation of what's happening on the inside. We talk a lot about the inside because that's where it all happens. That's where it all takes place. But we need to see that reflection on the outside. In fact, one of the ways we recognize who a person really is by the fruit of their character. It's a byproduct of your relationship with Christ. These are not my words, but these are words Jesus said in talking about false prophets. Janet, the next screen. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I think he's really trying to hammer home a point here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus is emphasizing that we will recognize false prophets, not simply by what they do, but more importantly, by who they are. And the reason I'm talking about that is there is going to be, as we draw closer to the end, there will be many voices vying for our attention, and there will be many false voices vying for our attention. Since the fruit is the evidence of what's inside to bear fruit that will cause you to look or live like Christ, you must be connected to Christ. You know, we sang about that today. Being connected, it's, I long to look at the face of the one that I love, long to stay in your presence is where I belong. That's how you stay connected. You cannot produce godly results or have godly transformation without connection to the vine. That's why Jesus said he is the true vine, because he is the source of those results. It's also why God works to first change the heart on the inside of man, because then the outside will eventually change and reflect what is in the heart. I look back at my life, and it took a while. And I'm glad he did not give up on me. But you know, when you squeeze a sponge, you see what's inside it. And it's kind of like the pruning process. You know, he says he wants to prune us. Well, he prunes us for various reasons, but they're all for our good. Like the old song says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Yeah. For you to become more like Jesus, it will require you to allow this his life to flow through you. This means you seek to do nothing on your own, but everything you do flows from him, from the Spirit living in you. Jesus being the true vine is the lifeline that makes that happen. So the context of this verse in Scripture, these chapters starting with John 14 through John 17 are part of what is known as the farewell discourse. I'll probably share a little bit about that later. After the Last Supper, Jesus prepares his disciples because the time of his crucifixion and departure were drawing near. Since this was taking place the night before he was crucified, these are some of the last words Jesus said to the disciples. So imagine for a minute you knew you only had one day to live, and you could have a sincere conversation with someone you really, really loved and cared deeply about. What would you tell them? Well, for one, you probably wouldn't mince around words. You would give them the truth as straight as you could about the realities of life. I wrote down heaven and hell. Those are realities of life that we don't always catch ourselves speaking about to other people. But I'd go beyond that. I would go beyond that, and I would go to the goodness of God. So I would bring all the realities of life to them. And this is exactly what Jesus does with his disciples during these four chapters. He's giving them some final instructions, final warnings, final promises, and final encouragements before he leaves. So if Jesus is the vine, why is God the gardener? Well, we've established that Jesus is the true vine. He's our source. But there's another participant in this process, and that's the gardener. Jesus says the Father is the gardener, and his role is to make the branches more fruitful. He wants growth in our lives. He wants us to grow. Janet, go to the next one. John 15:2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. God, the gardener, desires to have more and more of the character of Christ flowing in our lives. To do this, God may have to do some pruning in your life. The result can be uncomfortable, and it should be good. However, the process of pruning can sometimes be painful. In this process, God is cutting away or removing things that make you less fruitful. His desire is to get rid of the things that make you less like Christ. For some of us, these things have taken deep roots in our lives, so the separation of these things can cause pain. However, if you're going to be fruitful, this is a necessary process. When you allow God the gardener to do the work he desires, it may hurt a little, but you'll come out better for it. I liken this to cutting small branches or cutting large branches. Which one is easier? I liken it to being which one is more uncomfortable. If God has to prune a large branch or a small branch. So my tip for you is let them prune those small branches before they get too big. So how can we be branches of the true vine? If you want to know what godly fruit looks like, let's look at the book of Galatians. In the fifth chapter, Paul makes a distinction between the acts of the sinful nature and the spirit. Though he doesn't use that term, you could call it the fruit of the sinful nature. Notice the difference between the fruit that flows from the sinful nature and the fruit of the spirit. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I highlighted that, and the like, because it jumped out at me. He wasn't done. He just thought it was enough to say at the time. I think, and the like, he kind of left out things like pride and selfishness. I don't think I see that in there. So these are the acts of the flesh. But compare that to the fruit of the Spirit. The next two verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can see a big difference between the fruit that comes from our old nature and the fruit that comes from the Spirit of God living in us. Those who belong to Jesus, who is the true vine, will have the Spirit of Christ in them. It's this connection that allows you to produce this type of fruit. Because without him, you'll never be able to do it on your own. Romans 8, 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He's talking about being born again. And that's where we get to choose the source. Is the source us, or is the source Jesus Christ? When the gardener is pruning, he's removing things like immorality, impurity, and discord, and all the different types of fruit connected to the flesh. He does this because he wants more love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit flowing in our lives. This type of fruit allows you to be a reflection and allows people to truly see the character of Christ in your life. You know, we were created in his image. But do others see Jesus in you? That's something we need to ask ourselves every day. If there's one thing to take away from this, it's to stay connected to the true vine and embrace the process. Being connected to the true vine will produce fruit in your life. Pruning will help produce more fruit. But as Jesus stated, none of this can happen if you don't remain connected to him. That's why Jesus is the true vine. Now, earlier I said there were seven I ams. I just want to quickly go over some of those I ams in the book of John. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 11:17, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we already looked at John chapter 15, but verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Earlier I talked about chapters John 14 through 17, this farewell discourse. And again, in this discourse, he gave final instructions, warnings, promises, and encouragements to the apostles. In these chapters, the first thing he tells them is that he's going away. He's going to the Father, but he will send them a Holy Spirit to guide them. He told them that they needed to have the love like he has for the Father and the Spirit. They needed the love of Christ in them. And then his new commandment was, love one another as I have loved you. The next part of the discourse is what we just looked at, the true vine allegory, reminding us that the source of light, of life for the world, is Jesus Christ. And in John 16:33, he says, I have overcome, or I have conquered the world. The final part of the discourse is in John 17. It's the high priestly prayer that he teaches us. The key themes are glorification of the Father, the unity of the disciples through love, and that we may all be one as they are one. We need to keep him as our source, as our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for reminding us through your word today that you are our source. Without you, we can do nothing. We thank you that we can love one another as you and the Father and the Spirit are in perfect unity and love. We can be in perfect unity and love because we are created in your image and because we have the Spirit of God living in us. So we thank you and we praise you for all that you are and all that you do in our lives. Father, we ask you to show us your glory that we might be changed as Moses was changed just by seeing a glimpse of your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.